Da Bears.
What is up? The boys are sad. Sad. Guys, episode 84 of Da Bear Minimum Podcast. Guys, today is Wednesday, September 13th. Joined with the bestest friends in the whole world. Producer Jake is here.
Howdy.
Joined with the interns. Welcome back, intern. Chef Travis here.
Hello, hello.
Intern Jose is here.
Happy to be back.
Guys, I'm Marcos. And again, we are Da Bear Minimum Podcast. Guys, quick note. Happy to announce again, episode 84 and all of this season's Bears coverage is brought to you by... Let me get this out here. Look at this. Brought to you by Aurelia Gloves, a division of Supermax Healthcare. Guys, no matter your specialty, Aurelia delivers the best in-class gloves from a wide scope of industries, from dental professionals to tattoo and piercing professionals and all industries in between. They've designed premium quality products that excel in versatility, comfort, and supreme protection. Aurelia has a fit for you. I think it should be Aurelia, hands down, the best glove. Get it? You know, hands down.
I get it. That was very well done.
That was well done.
That was good, right?
That was really, really good.
Did you practice, or are you just a good reader?
No, I'm just a good reader. Mm. Were you surprised?
I don't know. I don't know if I've seen you read aloud before.
I can't read like that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Slap hands.
It's a skill.
Guys, big shout out to the sponsors again. We're super excited to have them on board. Love drinking beer. Love football. Love a local place.
Push.
And it's a blast. My boys.
Not on the soundboard.
You know what's not a blast?
Injuries.
Injuries are not a blast. Mm-hmm. Seeing your favorite football team look just completely inept.
Just shellac.
Couldn't be me.
Not good times. Mm-hmm. My boys, how the hell are we doing?
Doing good, man. Coming off the first weekend of football. Had a really good time. Regardless of that game, just having football back. College football on Saturday. You know, obviously the NFL on Sunday. We're back. And you mentioned it earlier. It's sweater and short weather as well, too.
I am in sweater and short right now.
We're back, baby.
Sweater?
All the way back.
Shorts. This 'tis the season.
Doing fairly well. The weekend had some highs, had some lows.
Oh.
Had some mids.
Jake.
Marcos.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Ooh,
happy belated birthday to happy producer birthday. Jake, guys.
Thank you, friends.
Dude, so how old are you now?
I am 30.
Mm.
Yes.
Nice.
Ha-ha.
Ha-ha.
How you feeling? Any different?
I caught up. No, not really. Same old, you know?
Really?
Just another day.
Your back doesn't hurt? No weird pain?
Well, I told you guys that the only reason my back hurts is I think I've played too much golf. Because it's one side in the lower right kind of quadrant, kind of where you start to twist, you know, make that kind of motion. That's about it. That's what I'm dealing with. Yeah. My ailment.
Trev, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm great. Football is back. Bears football is
so
all the
back.
Way back. All the way back.
So back.
As back as it could ever
They're
be.
They're actually so back right now.
It is the least surprising.
We should have been more surprised if it went the other way.
But outside of that, I'm great.
Nice, guys.
Happy
nice.
To be here.
Colorado was dope.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking college football. I thought you dove right into it. I was like, yeah, Colorado is dope. Very true.
Both dope.
Both
Let's
are
hear
dope.
About yours.
Dope.
Let's hear about
both
yours.
It was good. It was fun to get away. A quick little weekend. It was unfortunate because I was looking at the weather back here, and it was high of 60s and high 60s, low 70s. It was low 90s there the whole time I was there. Not ideal. But hey, shorts, sweater, we're back. Bubs was awesome.
You see a lot of black and gold apparel there? For Colorado University?
Is Colorado football back?
No, I was more. We were in Colorado Springs.
Okay,
so we were seeing more
south.
Colorado College,
yeah.
And then Air Force and all the places there. A lot of military people, kind of right there because it's so close to the base and stuff. So
gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Good trip. Dude, it's tough to leave a place like that because even when you're just driving, driving to the gas station,
it's beautiful.
Mountains. It's beautiful. The backdrop, you wake up, you're just holy shit, it's gorgeous. Here it's corn. I love this soybean. Love that's a nice soybean.
That's a nice looking soybean.
Guys, tough to transition to it, but I want to get your feelings on the Monday night way that everything folded or kind of ended up with Aaron Rodgers and officially an Achilles tear out for the season, four plays into it. That's a tough way to start the season.
It sucks. It's just outright.
It's very Jets.
It sucks. It is Jets. It's Jets football.
That is Jets football.
So now how do you guys feel as Bears fans? And we've hated this guy. He's a not that guy Hall of Fame guy for
us.
Yeah. We hate Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
But I couldn't get over the feeling of I'm sad.
Yeah.
Like, sad as a football fan.
It's an awesome storyline.
Yeah, I did want to see what would happen. You know, I think everybody wanted to see that. But at the same time, I do hate the guy. I don't wish injury on him. That was not what I was wishing. But feel bad for the Jets fans. That's basically what I guess where I'm getting at.
They thought they escaped. They thought they had something. Just to be dragged right back into the depths.
Well,
maybe there's something to Mormonism. You know?
What?
I mean, guys just so goddamn lucky.
I forgot who was Mormon.
Zach Wilson's Mormon. Sure.
No, wait, Roger.
For those that are lost, Zach Wilson is Mormon.
I'm like, Rogers ain't Mormon, dog. He just liked the dark.
The prayers worked. He got back on the field.
Guys, it was that was a crazy way for that game to like start. And obviously, like the electricity of like it's on 9/11 and he's running out the tunnel with the flag. Dude, are you kidding me? And then to have that go like four plays in and then your whole season changes. That's brutal.
There were like three montages before the game started. They just kept rolling them.
The Hard Knocks montage were too, where they just super cut of him just throwing dives.
Just so many montages before the game even started.
We have five more Jets primetime games scheduled. Like this year was built around them. It's just
bad for the NFL.
It's sad.
It's just sad.
Yeah.
Like I hate the guy, but like I don't want to see him go down on an injury. I don't want to see it go down on an injury. Like I want you to suck. Like throw like 1,500 yards and like a 1-3 touchdown to interception ratio on the season. You know, don't go out like that. So that's brutal.
The NFLPA has called for a ban on turf fields.
It's all the
things long overdue. I mean,
grass only.
And grass is the way to go. I mean, they just don't want the maintenance of it. Mm-hmm. You're constantly having to recycle in and all that other. And we are not turf experts here or anything, but it's they're never going to do it with these owners. And especially if you're owning your own stadium, you know, like they're never going to switch to grass. So you can have a bunch of Taylor Swift fans come and tear your shit up.
How much grass can you buy with Aaron Rodgers' salary?
Like as far as like square footage?
Yeah. How much is he getting paid? Like $40 million?
He reworked his contract.
So I think it was like $37 million this year. He got like four plays.
Yeah. So maybe you buy, maybe you invest in the grass.
Yeah.
If you're gonna spend $40 mil.
There's two teams there.
On the guy.
There's what?
There's two teams there.
There are two teams there.
Oh, there is two teams there. Yeah, if you're Woody Johnson, you're really kicking yourself that you had it sitting around. That's brutal, dude. All of week one in general in the NFL was kind of weird. Like from rain games, like that Bengals game was really sloppy, and you didn't really see the production that you see from a lot of guys.
Did you see the overall touchdown numbers in week one?
No, I didn't see an actual figure for it.
So 2 years ago was 88 touchdowns in week one. Last year was 81. This year, including Monday night, was 59.
Wow.
So
if you go to the highlights of this past week, it was just all pick sixes. Fumble recoveries, defense came out week one. Normally, like, offenses start slow, but this was unique.
Well, and why is that, though? Like, I mean, is there any – I guess – so I'm just going to get to it.
Because the biggest talking point is preseason.
Well, and that's kind of what I'm getting at is, like – and there's two ways to do it because you saw the Cowboys didn't play starters. I don't think the Cowboys defensive starters played at all in the preseason, if I read that correctly. And they go out there and they just have a monster of a game. But then there's other places, like – the Bengals played in the preseason. The Chiefs played in the preseason. And that was a tough game for them and not humming at all. So, like, where do you guys stand on that? Like, what would you attribute a low-scoring week one to?
Again, like, I think offenses normally, at least that's what I've been told, they generally start slower to start off the year. I also think there's just a lot of good defenses right now. I think there was a period in time where, like, there was this huge gap between defensive back talent and wide receiver talent. And I think that's really caught up on the defensive side. You have freak athletes now at cornerback, freak athletes at safety. And I think that has a lot to attribute to it. Also, not a lot of good quarterbacks out there. I know they won, but Desmond Ridder throwing for like 126 yards, whatever that was.
Yeah.
There's just not a lot of primo quarterbacks. And I think that really helped with the low scoring efforts.
You just got a lot of young quarterbacks right now. Like, you have talent out there, but they're, I mean, you don't have any – I mean, the age of the veterans are gone. Like, obviously, like, Drew Brees is gone. You know, that the whole crew, Tom Brady, they're finally out. So it's like
– is Tom out?
Time to learn. Tom's out. Tom's out. I don't think the Jets are picking up another quarterback.
No, I don't think so either. It's just a weird week one. Like, it's a lot of low scoring unders hit in a lot of the bets. That's just kind of how week one goes. I'm excited to see what a lot of these teams look like, you know, a few weeks in, especially because, like, you know, there's people treat the preseason, you know, kind of however they treat the preseason. So fine. Use these first couple games as like a ramp up, and I'm hoping to see some nice product and we get, you know, a couple dozen more touchdowns in a weekend.
I think you'll never have 6 weeks to prepare for an opponent again.
Yeah, that's really true.
Going forward, it's 6 days before
you're
back on the field.
I'm gonna save it.
The call's coming from inside the house.
He's upstairs. He's upstairs.
But I think with every team, I mean, like, you are just looking at week one. You're practicing things in preseason, but you're not game planning preseason. You are always thinking about September 10th or whatever it was.
Yeah. And now most of these teams got 6 days.
Yeah, exactly.
A couple days to get ready. If you're the Thursday night, there's already a Thursday night game. You got a quick turnaround time there. Let's see.
Yeah, Eagles Vikings.
Oh, Eagles Vikings.
I'm excited for that game.
That's going to be some good marquee matchups.
But, you know, even though the scoring was low, they were still very entertaining.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I mean, the Cowboys Giants, or not the Cowboys Giants game. What was the Jets game. I know we already talked them to death. That game was very entertaining. Allen just fucking slinging it everywhere. The Jets defense was unbelievable. The walk-off touchdown. I mean, that was very entertaining.
Did you guys watch Hard Knocks?
No.
No.
I can and I didn't watch Hard Knocks either, but I can imagine, like, the ending of that game and what Monday night was even more, I don't know, relatable, special, cool for people that watched that season all the way through.
Well, because the guy that returned the punt was like a very, like,
he
was a story in Hard Knocks. And then as a rookie to walk it off.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super cool. Guys, anything else you guys want to get into here? Oh, wait, one thing. Aliens, are they real?
Yes.
Because Mexicans say they are.
Oh, I saw that.
Did you see it?
Yeah,
I thought
saw
it before
that.
The news. I mean, I was always in on aliens.
Jake, I know you don't pay attention to anything during the day.
No.
We fill you in here.
Yes.
Today in front of Mexican Congress.
Mexican Congress? Like, just in Mexico?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mexican Congress.
No, Jake thought that it was just all the Mexican members of the U.S. Congress.
Yeah. They have their own Congress.
It's a separate group. So there was like... they presented the corpses of aliens that are thought to be like 1,000 years old from Peru, like an excavation out there. I just think it's crazy that they look like E.T.
Exactly.
Yeah, just straight up. E.T. They look like movie props.
This is not right. It's not right at all. We're going to take an L for this.
Yeah, plus
we're going to take an L for this.
I don't want to be that Debbie Downer either, but that guy is like historical fraud in Peru.
He's the
he bamboozled so many people in Peru.
He's the guy from the History Channel with the crazy hair. That's our version.
He is insane version. And then he comes over to Mexico, and sure enough, I don't know how the fuck he got that seat in front of that audience, but
everybody's like, you sure you want to talk about this right now?
And then to come out with E.T., man, like, just
it looks just like E.T.
just E.T.
it really does.
All right, guys, let's move on. So we get into sponsors. Obviously, we talked about it. Shout out Aurelia Gloves. But if you are also looking to leave the boys a tip, throw a little change in the tip jar, in the guitar cases, we're strumming along in the subway. You know how it is. Venmo is always open at @TheBareMinimum on Venmo. Voicemails. If you're looking to leave a voicemail, you can always send us an audio file. It's @TheBareMinimum@gmail.com. You can also just send an audio file directly to one of us. This week, we hear, guess who we hear from? Because he's on the damn payroll and we haven't heard from him all off season.
Been on a nice vacation, huh?
Beat reporter Seth. Guys, Seth from Beecher's back. Let's take a listen.
Oh,
God damn it. Fucking Salmon Dale. That's what I just did.
It is the official The Bare Minimum Podcast field reporter coming to you live from an undisclosed location. Just letting y'all know, I've been away for a little while, was hunting for a certain Matthew Nagy Super Bowl ring so I could hook it off a bridge. You know how it goes. Anyways, that first game of the season was an atrocious dumpster fire from an offensive and a defensive play calling standpoint, and I, for one, will not have it. There's too much fucking talent on this team to be wasted by Allen Williams and Luke Getsy.
Aliens.
So they need to figure this shit out. I would love to see Justin Fields do his best Money Mitch impression and throw six TDs against Tampa Bay. Fucking new week. Fuck the Packers. Bear down.
I miss that guy.
Seth's back.
Seth never left, though, if you're a Twitter follower, because the man's been talking a lot of shit over the last 3 months.
Good for him.
He's been prepping for this game.
He wore it.
And so, yeah, that backfired on him pretty good.
Dude, and he engages with, like, everybody.
Oh, if you respond to him, you're a sucker, because he's got you.
What's Seth on Twitter?
Seth from Beecher.
Yeah, he's just, dude. He gets into it with everybody.
Everybody.
And then now he's no playing like the damage control. Like, so we may have lost.
But he's still on there. No, he's taking it on the chin.
Dude.
Just a perfect fan.
Yeah, guys. Seth is right. And I guess we'll use Seth's voicemail as kind of the springboard into an official recap. It's our first of the season. Again, if you are new with us this season, recap if we win, recap if we lose. We're not paid for originality here. So that's how it goes, guys. Bears lose their 9th in a row to Green Bay. They lose their 11th in a row, just game in general, since last season.
They know that hurts.
They lose 38-20. It's unacceptable. Like Seth said, guys, this is absolutely unacceptable. I have debated all week, and sometimes I'm bummed that we don't record sooner in the week. Like, it'd be awesome to do like an immediate like
live reaction.
Well, like right after the game, but that you don't have the chance for it to like settle, to really like sink
digest
in,
it.
Digest it, you know. I wish we recorded the day after, because the longer I've sat on this and when I rewatched everything, it's unbelievable. I didn't know if I was going to come in guns blazing or if it's just I'm going to be, because there's two extremes. There's the, oh, it's week one, no big deal. Like, we've got 17 more of them. It'll be fine. And then there's the fire everybody, cut Chase Claypool, sign him again to cut him again. Like, I'm
like, that's what you brought.
Yeah, I'm mad. I've decided, like, I'm mad. Mm. This is not acceptable. What you did on Sunday was an absolute joke. The fact that you had, would you have 8 months? You had 8 months to prep for this game. 8 months of knowing who your opponent was going to be. It was going to be Jordan Love. It was going to be his first. I know he's had a start before, but this is really his first start on the road in your territory. Crowd was hyped. You're ready to go. You have all this talent. You hear everybody talking. We don't need to play our guys in the preseason, and everybody looks good, and training camp's going great. What the fuck happened?
Jordan Love happened.
No,
it's not Jordan Love happened. It's really not Jordan Love happened. You know what happened is we can't get out of our goddamn way. You can't get out of your way. Horizontal play concepts. All we did was watch the remaster of last year's season. All we did was watch the same exact movie that we've watched, not just last season, for years.
Just screens and unders.
Screens, unders, quick. And the play designs. People should be in trouble for that play call. Mm-hmm. Luke Getsy, there should have been some tough conversations had on Monday. And I'm not with the whole, oh, the players let him down, or, you know, it's all Justin, or Chase Claypool's the reason, Nate Davis is out of shape, all this stuff. Guys, this is one of those situations where everybody in that room right now needs to look at each other and say, hey, what do I need to do? Not what do they need to do, not what is that group or this coach, what do I need to do to fulfill my end, pulling on the same side of the rope so that we're getting to one final meeting place together. What do I need to do to make this team better? Because you didn't see it on Sunday. Everybody playing for themselves. And that's what it was. I'm sick to my stomach about it. And the issue is, if this is what the product looked like with 8 months to prepare, what the fuck is it going to look like with 6 days to prepare? Good God. What is this team going to look like on a quick turnaround Sunday to Thursday? This is week one. And you gave us this? Unacceptable. Unacceptable.
Do you want to go?
Go for it,
Joe. Well, I'm just going to talk it down after that one. It's bad by everyone. That's guaranteed. Nobody did anything right. I mean, from the opening drive going on that fourth down, on your own side of the field. Not good.
with a Cole Kmet sneak. Mm. You mean to tell me that 8 months in and your first third and short, instead of Jalen Hurts, they talked about eliminating a play, making it against the rules because it's a guaranteed 2 yards every play. A generational running talent.
Which we tried that as well and did not work.
Hit it again.
Yeah.
If you do it twice, you probably get it once.
I think the odds actually do say.
Get 1 yard and two QB sneaks. Yeah.
The beauty of that, too, is that you see Cole Kmet come over, and then the Packers defense immediately figures out what the fuck's happening. They're going to pinch. And they pinch and they stop it. Mm-hmm. Just brain dead play calling.
Essence of Matt Nagy.
Yeah.
That's the one. Sorry,
yeah,
Jake.
So it
turn my mic off because I'm.
It's bad. So it's just bad across the board. Bad on the offense. Bad on the defense. Bad on the coaching. The play calling. Justin was obviously bad. Like there was nothing redeeming about the game. Really nothing. Okay. Should we fire everyone?
No.
But you definitely need to have a plan going forward. Because if we get through halfway through the season and every game is like this, then people are probably getting fired. But this is the Bears, so probably not. They'll probably go all year with it. But really, again, I know it was awful, but it was just the first game. And we're not expecting to win a Super Bowl here. Like, we obviously just want to see improvement. And if you don't see it, obviously we're all going to want to move on. But the extreme, and I'm not saying your extreme overreaction.
And
reacting,
that's me. I'm passionate.
The extreme over the top reaction of like, fire everybody. Justin Fields is bad. Like, just undo it all a little much. I just think, like, I know it was bad, but you got to just like let the season play out because we're not expecting to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, and I'm with you there. Like, it's not something where like the expectation needs to be had from the beginning. Yeah, you're not going to go out there and you're not going to win 13 games.
But you have to act like you're going to try.
Good God.
Because
like,
they did not do that.
4 quarters try. Like, if you've got Greg Olsen, a guy who is in this, or you know how difficult it is for a guy who is in this organization, is an alumni of this team and has strong ties to this team still. For him to go and criticize, and not only criticize, but like, dude, he took a blowtorch to them about
rightfully
hustle.
So.
Oh yeah,
so.
Midway through the third, or like end of the fourth quarter, and you're down 3 scores, and you're in huddle, and you're kind of lollygagging everywhere. From every single, like, the unfortunate part about Sunday is that everybody had about as bad of a performance as you could possibly have, and you compound all of that with the expectation and the hope that we've had, because we're starving for this. Mm-hmm. We're starving for a competent football team. And so to have the hype and to have the buzz, people that are there said that it was like the vibe inside Soldier was unreal.
Oh, and to start.
It
to
looked
start,
electric
yeah.
on TV.
And
I mean, you felt
yeah,
it.
To give us that like is just brutal. Trev, what do you think?
I mean, I think on top of everything you guys said, just I think the pressure of the expectation of the city, of constant radio, just – everyone really was all in on it. National like television, like they were the primetime like 325 game of the week. Like, it was all eyes on them. And yeah, they absolutely shit the bed. I mean, I think, like we've said, just the like that's what we prepared for. And I really think it was just a conservative approach was taken. It got away from them quickly with like some boneheaded plays and some lack of like execution. And I think those mistakes will be like honed out and ironed out through the next few weeks. And I think the idea was there. I think they will get more vertical with the offense in time. I think the offensive line just like needs a little time. And I also think we'll come to learn that the Packers defense is very good. I think they're going to face a very, like, they have a good schedule. I mean, they're going to face some good opponents. But I think their secondary is very sound. Their front seven buys them enough time where those guys – or forces – like a lack of time where those cornerbacks makes plays, like build that pressure. I mean, I think it was a less than creative offense against a very good defense. And I think our defense is porous.
Oh my God.
I said that on
the
opener. Our defense is porous and it's going to get destroyed by good offenses time and time again.
Yeah. It's actually,
and we just lost Brisker for 6 to 9 weeks.
Gordon's. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I had like 8 wins. We're going to have to cut that down. Cause
I'll give
you
guys a mulligan right now. I'll give you a breakfast ball.
You give me
right
a breakfast
now.
Ball?
I'll give you a breakfast ball
knowing,
right now.
Knowing the first.
Not even looking at the schedule.
Not even.
I'm bringing it back to 6.
I'm thinking five.
If they play like that, guys, you're talking about possibly having a top five.
And I'm not even talking about the offense.
I'm immediately scared about week two already.
I'm just talking.
That was a dub for me.
I think it was an L for me. I'm just talking defense. That defense is going to lose you so many games. That, like, even if Justin does take another step, improves to being competent, like, 20 to 30 points a game is competent. Like, that's probably not going to be enough with the defense you have.
There's no Christian Watson, and we got cut up.
Oh, my God, dude.
Mike Evans and Godwin.
The amount of wide, like, players that were just wide open across the middle was egregious.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the issue is with this whole Tampa 2 system. Like, and
You're rushing four.
We are really, really familiar with the Tampa 2 because a lot of the coaches, I mean, Lovie included, like, we are used to a Tampa 2,
Fangio.
A cover 2. Two high safeties, you drop another, you know, seven guys in front of them, you're rushing four. Or five guys in front of them, you're rushing four.
We're not good
basically.
Enough to rush four.
Guys, you're not good enough. And, like, is this prideful? Like, we have this talk a lot on the offensive side of the ball, and we've always raged against, like, Matt Nagy. We raged against the fact that, like, he was not willing to change up his offense to fit the players that he has. So, Flus, buddy, you got to use that same logic on the defensive side. Hey, it'd be really nice if you had Lawrence Taylor and you had Joey Bosa and you had Aaron Donald and you had Urlacher in the middle. You had just an all-star team.
Khalil Mack on
you
the
wish,
outside.
You wish, but you don't. And instead of saying, look, our guys are going to get there, like, that's why the defense looks so bad. You do not have the pass rush to give your linebackers, to give your defensive backs a chance.
Especially against the quarterback in his first full season. You're not even going to attempt to get in his face to force him to make a decision. You're just going to give him all the time in the world to read what's in front of him.
You're just going
to
get gutted every drive. Like, if I'm a defensive coordinator on another team for the rest of the season, my thought immediately is, like, hey, we're just going to nickel and dime him all the way down.
You had six pressures all game.
Six.
The Packers had 33 pressures. Like, that dude, it's the second lowest pressure total since 2000 and back to 2001. And the first is the Bengals Bills game that ended in the first quarter.
Oh my God. It just is so frustrating. Mm-hmm. It's so frustrating.
You cannot expect that formula to work on defense with this front four.
And you're a defensive coach. Like, that's the thing. Flus was a part of a lot of the offensive meetings and rooms last year and things like that. Like, you need to do the same thing on the defense. You need to stick to what you know. Alan Williams, like, I don't know who's calling it. I don't know who's actually in charge. Whoever it is, again, look yourself in the mirror, look at your colleagues, and figure out a way to get this right.
Yeah.
If you rush four all season, we're going to do this again 16 more times. And it's just brutal. Guys, we'll start on the offensive side of the ball, right? So we'll do a little breakdown here. On the offensive side, like, we got to talk about Justin. This is the closest I've ever been to flirting with the idea that Justin isn't the guy. And I know it's just one game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna repeat myself and just say it is just one game. You're going to have to take the whole season. Again, it's not like you're drafting anybody like right now, you know. You don't have to make that decision right now. You're going to have to see the full body of work. I know it was a bad game, but again, everybody had a bad game. If you keep seeing that, you're going to immediately know if he's the guy or not, but you just got to expect something better than that.
Yeah, you need a better performance from Justin. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, dude, and that's the unfortunate part about the quarterback position. Like, the most important position in all of professional sports. Like, if you win, you win because of your quarterback. If they win, they get the praise. If your team loses, you get the blame. That's just how it goes. And it's just a poor showing. The fact that, like, to keep it on the offensive side, the fact that your big offseason acquisition, you know, DJ Moore, the chemistry through training camp, everything, because he had two targets.
Mm-hmm. He had two targets on back-to-back plays and then wasn't in for the first and goal.
Unacceptable.
Yeah.
Unacceptable. And
then for Matt Nagy not to have – or not Matt Nagy.
Nice.
Flus not to have an answer to why that was.
Bullshit answer.
Bad. Bad.
Oh, yeah, because he said – what I was watching.
He said you would have to ask him.
You would have to ask him. I'm talking to you as the leader of these 53.
You are the CEO on the field. You have to know everything. Why was he out?
Like, that's your guy. And you gave him two targets? And that's where, like, Justin, throw it, dude.
Dude, and that, yeah. It's
take
crazy.
Shots.
It's crazy. Just start slinging it. Yeah. I've been saying it forever. This is why I love Josh Allen. The man doesn't care if he's going to throw three picks down the field. When Justin's throwing it, I don't want to see the receiver in the same frame. I want the camera to move. Show me downfield where that receiver is.
I want the ball to leave the screen.
Exactly.
And then come back in. Yeah. You just don't see him take those chances. And I get it. Then he even said, like, because he had media availability today too. And he said, you know, I talked to Getsy. I talked to Flus. I know I need to be more aggressive. It's like, okay, I'm glad that you acknowledge it, but not just do it. Because literally, dude, this is it.
It's always run. It's always dump, like,
don't
low or run.
Care if you throw a pick as long as it's 50 yards down the field.
Throw it. Give your guy a chance.
Chuck that ball.
That's what I want. I just throw it. Give DJ Moore a chance. One on one. I mean, even if he's got multiple bodies near him.
Might get a flag.
In spite of.
You see, like.
Let
you
them be
see
great.
The great guys.
You can't be scared of throwing picks. You can't be scared. It's going to happen. No quarterback has ever not thrown a pick. Let it go.
I wonder if he, like, I wonder how difficult it is really for him to read an offense or read a defense. And if it's difficult for him, then it falls back on the shoulders of Getsy and Flus to say, hey, give him the old Jay Cutler treatment. Jay couldn't read the entire field. So what did they do? They cut the field in half. And they said, look, if you're rolling to your right, you can only throw from the middle of the field to the right. You cannot go back across your body. They didn't even give him options on that side. That's what you need to do. If your guy shows you, and who knows better than them? Fix it. On the offensive line, guys, it was just a brutal day.
Porous.
Nate Davis.
Lots of holes.
We got to talk about Nate Davis. Like, all off season, all training camp, we were talking about, hey, what's up with Nate Davis? Oh, no big deal. As long as he, my belief with Nate Davis was, as long as he comes out and he balls, I don't care. I don't care where you are. As long as you come out and you show that you're ready, who the fuck am I to say anything else? Dude, come on.
What the fuck was that?
That was a brutal day. Mm-hmm. And it's just brutal for everybody. I mean, and that's the thing with the offensive line. We're back to this again. Like, I mean, Justin's running for his life a lot of times. Don't watch the film again. It's just bad.
It's bad at every level.
It's bad at every single level.
I recommend you guys do watch the film. There's a beautiful YouTube channel, the QB Room, the QB School.
Oh, is that JT O'Sullivan?
Yeah, JT O'Sullivan. And I just watched an hour-long video of him critiquing that
it's
game.
It's an hour-long?
You have to watch
Jake,
it.
Jake, you have to watch it.
Because it is – you. I don't think it's all doom and gloom when it comes to Justin Field. Like, I think – Field, sorry. There's a lot of bad players on that team. There's just a lot. That offensive line is not good. And you see the mistakes, specifically Nate Davis. My God, just abysmal play. And then just some of the schemes, too. Like, there was that one particular rollout play where they rolled out was Braxton Jones. And, like, he's just lost in the rollout. And there's a guy immediately in Justin Fields' face. To me, it appeared that they just set that man up to fail.
Naked boot, yeah.
The naked boot, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you see him boot over it, and there's nobody there. He even feels awkward when he's running across the line. I don't know, man. That entire offensive line, I want to give credit to the Packers pass rush. They have, in my opinion, they have a really good defense. But they're not going to perform like that every single week. That offensive line just, even with low expectations, which I think most NFL fans look at the Bears offensive line and be like, look, you spent a first-round pick on there. Jones looked really good last year. You're moving some guys around. You signed Nate Davis. Surely it will be better than it was last year.
Would have thought, right?
You would have thought. And watching that film, no, I didn't see any steps. I think Darnell Wright had a really few good plays where he shut down pass rushers, and you got to walk away feeling happy about that. But damn, man, that interior pass rush was unreal.
Even Braxton Jones had a good, like, he had a good, if you look at his pro, his like PFF grade, like, he graded out like in the high 80s. I think he was the second highest pass blocking tackle. But I mean, even then, dude, like, talk about penalties. He had two holding penalties, two false start penalties. You've accounted for, I think that's 60 yards that you've put your team in the hole right there. It's brutal. Dude, it's just brutal. And, like, my worry is on the offensive side that, like, If that was your game plan, again, back to the whole 8 months thing, if that's what you put together in 8 months and that's what you look like from first half to second half, how am I to trust that, like, you guys are able to make adjustments on the offensive side of the ball?
And can I say something, too, with, like, obviously they had a very lateral game plan, right? You saw a lot of screens, a lot of short dink and dunks. In my opinion, I feel like if you're going to have that type of scheme, you have to have players that are blocking, particularly tight ends and wide receivers. And the efforts that you got from Cole Kmet, I try telling you guys, Robert Tonyan is a fucking ghost when it comes to blocking anything. He's terrible.
He's terrible.
I was going to say, did he play?
Yeah, played.
Yeah. And they had him out there to block, which is, it's fucking brain dead. You don't do that. And then Chase Claypool, which I know a lot of people are already hovering, like, so he might not play apparently this week. That is the effort of somebody that gave up. Chase Claypool getting absolutely blown up by Nixon, who I believe is like 20 pounds lighter, three inches shorter, and gets bulldozed. Mm-hmm. It's that guy gave up. And just seeing people, Cole Kmet just got fucking paid. He just got the bag. I think he's top 10 paid in tight ends.
He is, yeah.
And some of those blocking efforts that he did, you expect more from somebody like him. Like, it's, I don't know why you would do that, knowing that that's the kind of effort that you're going to get with that scheme. And if you're seeing that, make an adjustment in the second half. Your guys aren't providing those blocks. Figure something the fuck out. Because that second half, not trying to chat shit, was really easy. That defense hunkered down, and that offense did nothing aside from, what, two drives? It, Getsy, from being the darling of early last year, where people were worried that he was going to get poached, to now.
Take him.
Take him.
Yeah. It's,
have him.
What a transformation on his end. I don't know.
Just some of these formations. I mean, and I won't harp too much more on it, but, like, even there was a couple plays where, like, dude, you've got Kari Blasengame as, like, your ex receiver out on the edge, like, on a run play. Like, dude, what are we doing here?
Well, it's like, because he came for the Packers, right?
Yeah.
Quarterback coach? Or was he the OC?
He was the OC. He didn't run that offense with Aaron Rodgers ever. He didn't just throw bubble screens all day. Where is this coming from? Why are we doing this?
And that's why I want to see Justin just throw it. Just give me a good stretch where there's a couple games where you just throw that shit. Because if I keep having to look at, like, these cuts and these clips that people post on Twitter of, like, the people running wide open, and always have to think, like, man, I wonder what would have happened if he threw that ball. Dude, give me, like, 5-6 games where you just fucking throw it. And if you end up coming back with, like, a 5-touchdown-to-12-interception ratio, I know that we're going to be shopping for somebody else next year.
And it can't be when you're already down, like, 3 scores.
Yeah.
That's not the time. Like, it's too late.
Because you see his
– open up with it.
Yeah, because you see his stats, and you're like, okay, he had 216 yards, a touchdown, and a pick, and then he had another, like, 60 yards rushing.
Like, you can't do it. You can't do these sideline throws all game and expect the other team not to adjust like you do.
Like I said, if I'm a defensive coordinator on any one of these other teams, I'm rushing 4, and I'm just sitting 7 back. You want to beat us? We're going to make Justin beat us as a passer, not as a runner. If Justin can show that he can do that and he can make those changes, it should be a fun year. But if not,
it's going to be a long year.
It's going to be a tough, tough year. I don't want to say it.
One positive.
Go ahead.
I thought Roschon Johnson looked pretty
good. That's what I was going
to get
at.
Some garbage time, but I thought his pass protection looked really good.
That truck?
That truck was nice. Yeah. He ran that man over.
It was loud.
Yeah.
He had a lot of catches.
That was loud.
He had six, he had six catches.
He was bringing
six,
the ball in.
Six catches,
I
six targets.
He really good.
DJ Moore had 2.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
DJ Moore had 2. Your fifth-round rookie running back, third on the depth chart.
I thought he had 6 catches, 7 targets. At that, or is it the other way? 5 catches, 6 targets. Regardless.
Something like that.
That was a nice spot. Justin Fields is still really good at escaping. He gave up the 1 bad sack that was bad.
Terrible.
Calm down. Yeah. Calm down.
Terrible.
It was a bad sack.
Red zone.
But goddamn, there's some times where he starts running, and I'm like, holy shit, this guy moves. That one sack he avoided.
Slippery.
Where, yeah, that one sack he avoided where one of the Packers linebackers or corners was creeping in, had him dead to rights, back to him. He knew he was there, spun out of it, just ran away.
It was that corner blitz where I think Cole Kmet just didn't know what the fuck to do right there too. And he found a way to gain 15 yards there.
Yeah.
He just slipped right out the back.
So. Yeah.
You know, there was only one designed run that they actually ran. Like, there was only one actual designed run for Justin Fields, and it was the QB sneak.
Oh.
That was it.
Yikes.
That was it.
Yikes.
I don't know what we're doing, but I need to see better. Guys, on the defensive side, we've talked about the defensive line.
Six pressures.
It's
six pressures.
Yannick Ngakoue can only do so much. Like, you know, Andrew Billings, I saw, who's it, Bernstein from 670, right? I saw him. He was talking about, as far as, like, registered stats, you know, like tackle for loss, sack, an assist, a deflection, all of those.
Oh, yeah.
Andrew Billings did not record anything. Nothing.
Tony Snell stat line?
Literally just 40 minutes, nothing. And you just basically were out there getting cardio. Like, you know how difficult it is to not be a part, like, as the three technique, as the guy in the middle, to not even just get your hand on a guy and get half a tackle? Are you fucking kidding me?
That's why Aaron Jones just kept busting off, like, 40-yard runs before he
good God, dude.
Had his hamstring tightened up.
Good God. In the defensive backfield, guys, where's Captain Eddie Jackson? Because we saw a lot
he's at all times 2 feet behind the leading receiver and usually throwing his body at people without his arms out.
Dude, that touchdown.
That's where you can find him.
Was it a Romeo Doubs touchdown?
The first one.
The first one. Where, like, dude, he crossed your face.
Your
center field. Your one job is to make sure that that deep guy does not cross your face because you need to maintain that inside leverage. Dude, it's the easiest play in the world. You're not stepping up. You're not making tackles. And we know that about Eddie. We know that he's not the Jaquan Brisker type. He's not going to get in there, you know, stick his nose in with, like, a good form tackle. But fuck me, man. If that's what you're going to do on the defensive side, Eddie, this is going to be it for you, bud. On a contract year, that's the hard part. Contract year for so many of these guys.
Yep.
It's Eddie's last year. Guys, it's Chase Claypool's last year. We're talking about effort on a 6'4 wide receiver. We're talking about effort. You're bigger than most of the guys you're going against. And we have to talk about if you want to be here, if you care enough, I'd fucking cut. I don't know if I'd cut him, but I don't. I wouldn't dress him. Yeah, look at me. I wouldn't dress him.
I fire everyone.
He's a liability. You already knew Equanimeous St. Brown was inactive.
That's the other thing when they were asking Flus about, like, if he's going to bench anybody, and he's like, we're weighing all options. It's like, dude, last week Sean Payton told his quarterback to shut the fuck up and stop being a politician. Yeah. Stop kissing babies. Just be a grown-ass man and tell these people what to do. You are the head coach. Do your job.
I hate coaches that talk to me like I'm an idiot. I hate that shit.
Coach speak.
I hate coach speak. I'm pretty sure I said it, like, early to midway through last season. I know Sam's got it on his sheet, but, like, I think I'm at the point where, like, Matt Eberflus has, like, just pissed me off. Like, it's come on, dude.
You have to have Belichick numbers to do coach speak. You can't do coach speak until you've earned coach speak. Right?
Oh, completely.
I agree.
Right?
Yeah. I agree.
Otherwise, you got to tell how it is.
Be out there and be crazy. I'd rather you be crazy. Be Adam Gase. Be crazy eyes. Be Nick Sirianni. Be crazy. It's fine. Just win. I don't care what you sound like behind the mic. Just win.
Can I bring up something, too, with your guys' starting lineup?
Please.
There was 13 people listed as starters on the Bears lineup.
Yeah, this is another thing. Just, oh, my God.
Whose fucking ego are we
trying to? It has to be Claypool, right?
It has to be Claypool.
Yeah. If you're Eberflus.
He didn't start. Of course it's Claypool.
Be a fucking man,
but
dude.
Even then, still, if it's 13, there's still another one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
13, there's, what is it? Is it Eberflus? They announced Robert Tonyan as a starter, too.
What the fuck has Tonyan done to, like, have that type of ego? If I'm thinking, we all just talked about it. If Belichick came out and listed 13 people, it's like, all right, fuck it. It's Bill Belichick. You know, he does what he does. But Eberflus, in combination with all of the turmoil that you're seeing as far as guys being effort, not having as much effort, the drama that a lot of people have taken away from, like, Chase Claypool his entire career, and then you see that, I don't know about you guys, but I start to think this is a coach that might be a little too player-friendly, a little too soft, doesn't want to actually have those tough conversations. I don't know. Maybe I'm over-exaggerating, but, like, that's not a good sign, right? That you're placating to these guys, listing 13 starters because – I think it's pretty obvious that you don't want to hurt somebody's feelings.
I don't want to bring up Mark Trestman because we're not there yet. But this smells like a pig with lipstick on it, like a sparkly turd. That's what this smells like right now, and you better fix this shit quick. Guys, let's get into some grades. All right, we'll grade the offense, grade the defense, grade the coaching. But before we do,
I'll say special teams was pretty good.
Yeah, I decided. We
had a couple of nice runs.
Mm. Oh, Tyler Scott, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, goddamn, I could Velus Jones out of the job. I was like halfway through the game. I was like, huh, I just realized Velus Jones isn't playing.
Velus, he
because the ball's being caught.
He didn't even dress.
And then returned.
Yeah.
So, on the offensive side, guys, give him a grade. I am going to give him a D plus.
F.
I'll give him a D.
I'll give him a D because...
I'll say Roshan was good.
Yeah, Roshan was good.
They failed.
Jose.
I'll give him an F.
On the defensive side.
F.
F.
That's a big F for me.
A G.
Coaching. F minus. Minus. Minus.
F. Yeah. 8 months to prepare.
You have to take this class again. You had 8 months to prepare for your first
test. You don't have to take the class again. You actually are going back down one.
You've been relegated.
You've been relegated. That was a bad performance. Got to go down.
Guys, and I do want to also give, as we're going to do at the end of every recap or recrap this season, we are going to give our Aurelia, give him a hand. Well, we got to figure out what this is.
I like it. I like it.
The golden. Well, I thought about Golden Glove, but it's like soccer.
Turns out they don't have a Golden Glove either. I looked at their inventory.
They don't have a Golden Glove?
They don't have a Golden Glove.
Well, then we will give out the first, guys, the first Aurelia Golden Glove. We're going to give a hand to Roshan Johnson for this week, guys. Mm-hmm. It was a good one. Probably the only bright spot. And let's see what happens with him. I could see him being the lead guy by the end of the season.
Yeah, so, to get run over like that and to immediately try to chase him after and meet him at the end zone, a lot of effort. Mm-hmm.
Guys, let's. What do you guys want to do? You guys want to do look ahead, or do you guys want to do a little Sammy Stats question of the week?
Sammy Stats. I need a little break.
Trevor, get us into Sammy Stats question of the week.
Pretty easy one this week. What's your favorite form of potato?
That's not easy at all. That's actually but really it's hard.
Like, I think it's really easy. I think it's French fry.
Just straight up French fry?
Yeah.
Not a French fry guy.
Oh. Whoa.
They're fine. French fries are fine. I just... But my whole life, I've always eaten the entree first, and I'm just like, yeah.
The fries were there.
Good on the fries, you know? Pretty stuffed.
Can I say baked potato soup?
I'll give it to you.
I'll take that.
Mine's probably
so fucking good, dude. It's soup season, too?
See, I like some crispy, like, cafe potato style, like cubed. A little bit of onion, a little bit of green pepper in there.
They're like breakfast potatoes.
Yeah, like breakfast potatoes.
The potatoes O'Brien.
That's
like,
the one, dude.
Yeah, those are. That's a great.
So last night I went out to dinner for my birthday. Went to the restaurant, The Graceful Ordinary in St. Charles.
No free ads.
I think it's become my favorite restaurant. It's the second time I've been there, and it's yet again unbelievable. Some of the best food I've ever eaten in my life. The way they prepared this potato. It was very, very thinly sliced, like just little sheets of paper, thin, right? And then they told me that they took like salt water and brushed it on, and then they rebuilt this like stacked potato. Not the whole potato. It was like cut into like this like weird little cube, but they re-put it together in this like block and then cooked it and served it. It was out of this world. I mean,
that's quite elegant. I don't know if I could match that. Mine's mashed potatoes.
Like, what kind of mashed potatoes, though? Like, I mean, some red skin, like, mashed potatoes.
Yeah,
I do that with garlic
and then, like, homemade, like, whipped. Yeah, I mean.
I like a twice baked.
Twice baked, twice like baked a twice good. Baked.
Yeah. What type of french fry?
I like hash browns.
See, that's tough.
Because, like, I prefer steak fries.
I don't like steak fries. Yeah, I hate steak.
Do you like sweet potato fries?
No. I like sweet potato fries.
I'm not a big fan.
Yeah. I grow tired of them. Mm. I just kind of...
This bores me. Yeah, like a good... like I don't like steak fries because it's too much potato to be consumed as a fry. Mm-hmm. But I don't like steak and shake fries.
No, like, I don't like steak and shake.
Yeah. The old beat-up fries, the skinny fries. It's too little of a fry. Mm-hmm. I think a McDonald's fry is, like, perfect.
That's as, like, small of a shoestring.
I need a little more meat than the... than a McDonald's fry.
You guys fuck with like a potatoes au gratin?
I love potatoes au gratin.
Yeah.
That's good.
Little cheese, little ham. Damn.
Jake, on that do you, which fast food fry do you like more out of all of them out there?
Yeah, what's your favorite?
Because I have a hot take. I love Burger King's fries. I like them more than I like McDonald's fries.
I don't like Burger King.
I'm going to be honest with you. This back to the, I don't really care about fries that much. I don't really get fries at fast food restaurants.
You just get the sandwich? No.
Pretty much, yeah.
No drink, no fry?
I get a water. I don't drink a lot of soda. You know? Plus, water's free. It's like 30 cents for a large cup of water. It's kind of fucked up. But anyways.
That's fucked, really?
Yep.
That's fucked. That was a good one. Guys, and we move on. Let's get into a little look ahead, right? So we look ahead to week two against Tampa Bay. Bears travel down to Tampa Bay. Bears are 2.5-point dogs, plus 115 on the money line. Point total is 41.
I smell a rat. How are we only 2.5-point dogs?
Yep.
We just gave up 40 fucking points to Jordan Love. How are we 2-point dogs?
To a team that, like, Tampa beat Minnesota last week, and like Baker looked serviceable. That defense still looks really good.
They shut down
good.
Justin Jefferson in the second half.
I don't understand how we're only 2.5-point dogs either. And then you have to do the whole like teams in the north that travel down to the south this time of year.
It's gonna be 100 degrees,
dude. It's gonna be like 92 with like an air temp of like 103. Like it's gonna be hot. Nate Davis, buddy. Just put him in a cryo fucking cryo chamber. Yeah, you're literally gonna have like you're gonna have to rotate guys in with this if they're not up to speed. Is this as close to a must win as you could possibly get in week two?
There's no must wins this season.
Really? Because you go to KC. Oh, come on.
There's no must wins this season.
Oh, dude, you don't want to see wins though.
Like, I want to see wins. There's no such thing as a must win this season. Especially not in week two.
Yeah, because you got Kansas City week three, and then you welcome Sean Payton and his crazy ass week four. Dude, you could start the season 0-3 like that. 0-4 like
yeah.
that.
It doesn't matter. As long as we score points, we know how fucking bad this defense is. It does not matter how many games we lose, because we're going to lose a bunch. If they play like that on defense, we are going to lose a ton of games. So it does not. There are no must wins.
See, I can't accept that. Yeah.
There's no must wins.
I can't accept that.
There are only must play goods on offense. On offense, you must play good. You just you can score 30 points and lose. I don't care. That's what your job is right now. You have to get that offense on the right track. You have to get Justin Fields to throw the ball. It does not matter win or lose, because you are going to lose. The defense is garbage. Unless you score 50, and even then, you might not win. I almost smell my beer.
I think it's must win for a week, too.
Just for the sake of the season. Like, and I hate to be so dramatic like that, but like literally you could start the season 0-3, and I get it. I get what you're saying, Jake. Like, you don't have the expectation that like we're going to win every game, or we're not going to the Super Bowl, anything like that. But like, dude, you still want your team to win. Like, as of last week, you had 9 wins?
I'm not saying I don't want them to win. I want them to win. It's just not a must win. Like, it's not.
So
I think you have to win because you're losing next week.
You're going to still
win. Why does it matter?
Because
you're not going to win.
For the sake of the construction of the vibes of the direction of this season, to have the hype.
Because if they lose 13, 14 games again, there's going to be an overhaul of the personnel once again, and that will just reset the, like, everything.
Not exactly.
Like, you can't just read like another,
not exactly.
Once again, another rookie head coach and another rookie OC.
Not,
that'll be dog shit.
Not
again.
If you average 30 points a game.
No,
they won't get fired.
Yes, they will.
No, they won't.
They will.
No, then Luke Getsy gets promoted. If he's scoring 30 points a game, Luke Getsy's the head coach.
God.
What?
That always goes
what are
so
you talking
well.
About,
what,
Jake?
You
what?
Want that to happen?
Did you hear what I just said?
No.
He scores, that offense scores 30 points a game for the rest of the season. You're telling me Luke Getsy isn't getting promoted?
Look,
what do you mean?
Of course
I would
poached.
Want that. He's scoring 30
he
points a game.
He gets poached.
The reason we're losing is the defense. He's scoring 30 points a game.
Oh, dude. You
the
cannot
offense
put,
was bad.
You cannot put all of Sunday on the defense. Good God.
That's not what I said.
What did you just say,
I
Jake?
Did,
Play it back.
Did the offense score 30 points this past week?
No.
Then did I put it all on the offense or on the defense? No, I'm saying the defense is going to be bad. But if you turn around the offense and you can't, like, this is what I'm saying, it's not a must win. It doesn't matter if you win. Your offense just has to get better. The defense isn't. We have no promising prospects on the defense. That doesn't, other than in the secondary.
What?
I disagree.
Zach Pickens? You don't have Javonte Dexter? You don't have, dude, you just paid Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards.
But what I'm saying.
I can't watch them give up 450.
Guys,
everyone,
but you have
fired.
So much money. You have all those draft picks. If you can get the offense going in the right direction, you can, like, the defense is, you can work on that. You can buy that. What I'm saying is the game's not a must win. If you're scoring 30 points and losing, that's fine with me. It's not a must win.
Yeah, but, like, to me, I don't see the Bears ever scoring 30 games or 30 points, like, routinely and lose it.
For the next 10
and
years.
And that's because partly of this offense. Look, I'm gonna be real with you guys.
Oh, here
for
we
the
go.
Last offseason, for this past offseason, I had to hear you guys be so fucking brolic. We just got Tremaine Edmonds.
It was a lot of fun.
We just signed whoever the fuck that linebacker that was from
that's
Philly.
Gonna happen every offseason.
You know, you guys. Suddenly there was like this faith in Kyler Gordon when he got his ass torched last year and had a terrible rookie campaign. Sure, Jaquan Brisker was great, and I really do believe that he's a very good player, but Eddie Jackson is wishy-washy, and yet this entire time I had to listen to you guys saying, this team is different. And blew my fucking mind because I didn't understand.
Jose,
I'm glad you're venting because you've always been a very humble Packers fan. You've always really kept this in. So.
And hear me out. So, like, when you say, like, this defense isn't going to be good, that's not what I fucking heard for, like, four or 5 months.
Well,
and as a Bears fan, you have to believe that.
Yeah.
You tricked yourself into believing that this defense is good.
Yep.
This past weekend was a reality check.
Yep.
What's next,
yep,
in my opinion, is you're going to realize that this offense isn't that good either. And this expectation that they can realistically put out 30 points every single week is not a realistic one.
I'm not saying it's realistic. What I'm saying – well, hold on. Let me address the starting thing. That
come
was
on,
preseason
birthday boy.
Us. That was preseason us. I've since seen – I've since
that was
seen
a week ago.
I've since seen that I was wrong. Also, to counterpoint that the team is different, they're not all the same players. They are in fact different. I
checkmate. You're
got
me.
I got you.
He got me.
So
that is fair.
Okay, so I'm glad we're all on the same page here.
Also, like, and the reason why I say it's a must win, if you would have told any Bears fan 2 weeks ago that you're gonna start off the season losing to Jordan Love and Baker Mayfield, you're probably fucking rioting at that moment.
Yep.
This is now a real reality. So having no faith whatsoever coming off of this weekend and seeing what you saw with your coaching staff, to me, if that happens again, if I'm a Bears fan, I am pissed.
I agree. What I'm saying is I agree with what you're saying. If that happens again, I'm pissed. However, if it doesn't happen again, and it's because the offense
points.
Scores 20,
we're back.
Scores 30 points, I'm back. I don't care if the defense is bad. The only thing I care about is that Justin Fields looks good and throws the ball downfield and scores points. I don't care if we lose because, again, based on what I saw, we're going to give up a lot of points. Based on what I saw as well, if that's how we're going to play offense, we're not going to score a lot of points, in which case the point is mute. We're still going to lose a lot of games.
So you've pivoted from expectations in the preseason to now your expectation is totally different after week one.
I've lowered the bar. I've readjusted my earnings report. See,
So that's my issue, though, is like, and that's why I think this is a – let's amend the statement then. For the sake of our hopes for this season – as far as like the vibe, for the sake of the vibe, let's put it that way, right? For the sake of the buzz and all of the hype that we had going into this, if we start the season 0-2 going into Kansas City, holy shit, that week is going to be brutal. And then you go and you get your head kicked in week 3 and you start the season 0-3, the vibes are dead.
Unless we score 30 points in both games.
What part of Sunday made you think that, bud?
But that's not what I'm saying. That's my counterpoint. Is like I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it
like
could happen.
Could happen.
Justin, I don't Jefferson, think it, you just said,
but what I'm saying
is shut down.
But what I'm saying is
my grandmother.
You're saying
wheels.
If we're 0-3, regardless of what happens in the game, it's doom and gloom. I disagree. If we can be 0-3, and I could still have a positive vibe. If the offense scores 30 points.
My mood right now is the mood of the expectation. Like, I haven't lowered my bar. So I guess that's where the disconnect is here. I haven't lowered my bar. I expect things from this team. I have an expectation, given what we saw this offseason and the money that you spent and all this other stuff. I have an expectation that this team is going to go out there and compete. And, right, I have them at 8 to 9 wins. So I'm right there with you at the beginning of the season. I still think that they can do something here. But if they don't, things will get very dark. Things
I disagree.
Will be very bad.
I've lowered my bar to the point where I don't care about the wins.
I don't feel. See, dude, week one and you hit that point? It's week one.
But we were never going to be a contender of any kind.
Even if you get a third wild card.
Did you ever think there was going to be must-win games?
How many games did you have winning last week, by the way?
I think I had eight.
That's a contending team.
That's in the graphic team.
That team has must-win games.
That team has
they're
a,
in the playoff.
Isn't
literally
in the hunt.
I don't know. We're beating into a dead horse. I think someone out there is going to agree with what I'm trying to say is that in no part after watching that game do I believe we are any close to being a contender. And even if the offense steps up, I still believe we're going to continue to lose games. I no longer care about winning a Super Bowl, about playoffs. I don't care about the wins. If we do win, fucking fantastic. All I care about now is if we can score points, if Justin Fields looks better going forward and can throw the ball downfield. If we continue to play sideline ball and not score points, then I'm going to be upset.
Why can't we hold them to a higher standard?
I am upset about the game. I'm upset about that game. I want them to be at a higher standard. I want them to throw the ball downfield and be better. But we just sustained a significant injury on defense. We rushed for all game and didn't change that. The defense can improve as well. I just don't believe that defense is good enough for us to win any games.
Can I ask you? Okay, so let's say you guys finish this off, and I'm hoping this will help clear up everything. So let's say you guys do score like 25 to 30 points the rest of the year, right?
I'm happy we could lose every game.
Sure enough. But let's say you lose every single game, right? You're telling me that you feel comfortable moving forward with Justin Fields as your QB, entering year four, and you have to re-sign him. This idea that you guys have all this money in the world.
We're scoring 25 points a game?
Yeah.
Sign him.
But we're not winning any games.
Brother.
Why
aren't
we winning games? Why aren't we winning? We're scoring 25 points a game.
Half of the game is offense, right? So yeah. Like, you can't blame every single thing on the defense. Surely there's something there on the offensive side if you're not winning a game. If you told me that my quarterback is now 2 years in a row, say 3 to 4 wins, and this idea that I'm going to give him – what are quarterbacks getting now? $45 million?
You're going to give them 40 a year
There's
for
no
6 years?
There's no fucking shot I'm doing that. And let's say you do, right? Surely a lot of the managerial staff isn't going to be there. Is there going to be a new OC? Maybe Getsy gets that position, right, where he becomes head coach. But now that's three different
OCs. Can you
imagine
OCs getting promoted after a 2-win season?
Yeah. That's now three different schemes that he's probably going to have in his first 4 years. This is Jay Cutler again.
So, like the Packers, they signed Aaron Rodgers to deals. They didn't make the playoffs every year. You didn't go fucking kicking and screaming and try to fire him because they only had 7 wins.
I did.
But yes, okay, you're looking at me like
– because, like, you're comparing
he's established.
Like a Hall of Famer.
Yes, but a Hall of Famer scored 25 points a game. They were still losing games. Like, here's the thing. Like, scoring that many – like, yes, yeah. There's a reason you're losing games if you're still scoring 25 points. And it's usually probably not the quarterback.
But to be fair, I think it's great that you're using Aaron Rodgers because there was years where that defense was dog
yeah.
shit.
Yeah.
They still won
they
games.
They still went
Jay.
To the NFC
I
Championship
know.
Game.
Yes, I know. But that doesn't – like, yes, Justin Fields has the potential to win you games alone. But you're not expecting to go to the playoffs on – scoring 25 points a game and still not winning. That means your defense is giving up 30 a game. Like, this is what I'm trying to get at. You can rebuild the defense with money and with draft picks because you have all that. If this season your offense starts producing, I'm okay with that.
I get what you're saying, that it's not a must win. And sure, if you, like, we have 17, you have 16 others.
It so, really isn't.
Sure,
right?
If you're going to win, if your prediction, if what your preseason prediction is true, and you're going to win 8 games, you're right. You can start 0-3 and you can technically make 8-9. Sure. What I'm telling you, and I guess we're just arguing different things right now, is that if you start this season 0-3, there might be massive changes by the time you get, like, to the end of the season. If 0-3 is the precursor, is the preview to what the season movie is going to be, I might not want to watch it.
And what I'm trying to just say is that if you are 0-3, I don't think that is the case if your offense is still scoring. I don't, like, you might lose the defensive coordinator. You know, somebody might get fired, but I don't think you're rolling the whole fucking thing over if you're 0-3.
Correct.
And, like, loading up points. Like, you're not. That's just not going to – you might lose someone, and, you know, but you're not going to fucking blow the whole thing up right then and there.
You're not firing them week 4, but if you go 0-3 – what's to stop you from going 0-4?
And then you're sure as hell firing him on Black Monday. Like, Eberflus didn't give you a lot to, like, be really promised, like, really amped up last year. And if you enter another year where you're, like, just winning a minimal amount of games, he's going to get fired. Mm-hmm. And, like, whether or not that's Getsy, that's a new regime.
Yeah.
And, like, that turmoil can really set back any franchise. I'm not saying that would happen, and I get what you're saying as far as, like, yeah, then you hire from within, as least as long as you see something on the White offensive Sox side. But, like, yeah, I mean,
White
Marcos
Sox
beautifully explained it. You're White Sox. You're White Sox pilled right now.
You're White Sox coping right now.
What do you mean? Oh, just, well, yeah, I got hockey coming. I got plenty of medicine on my way.
Can I give you guys just one little thing to chew on here, all right? And just think about this as the season goes on. Remember that Justin Fields is not Ryan Poles' guy.
Yeah.
I mean, it. I don't want to say conspiracy theory. I don't want anything like that. But, like, Ryan Poles doesn't have the immediate connection because he's not the guy that picked him. Like, this could be the plan all along. Justin might not be the guy. Ryan Poles might have it in his head that, like, hey, unless he shows me something crazy, you are drafting Caleb Williams or somebody else at the end of the year with that capital.
Every GM gets one pick. Every GM gets one shot at QB in their first, you know, career or whatever. Every GM gets one. From, you usually inherit one, you see if you can make it work, and if you don't, you get one shot, and if that doesn't work, then you're looking for a job. That's how it goes every time. That's what happened with Ryan Pace. He came in. What do you have? Jay Cutler to start. And he got to pick Mitch Trubisky. Well, actually, he got two because he also picked Justin Fields. That, which was a mistake letting him do that. Just make that pick in general if you were going to fire him immediately.
It's very Bears.
Very Bears.
Very Bears.
So, yeah. Usually you get one. And then if that doesn't work, then you're done. So Ryan Poles isn't going anywhere, but he can do what he wishes on the staff.
Is he?
No,
he's not going.
Okay. He's look at all the picks he has acquired.
Yeah, him and Kevin Warren. I mean, and that's the thing. You're not, like, if a builder tells you, hey, I'm gonna build your house in 2 years, you're not upset at month 6 because mm-hmm. your house isn't built yet. Like, you're not upset at week at, like, the year mark. Like, give them the time to
but
build.
But what if, like,
thing.
The bathroom's fucked up and they keep fucking up everything around the house?
Yeah, you're still building it, so you have a chance to fix this. Until I
You also have a lot in the budget still for, yeah, like, really bringing this whole metaphor together.
This is a really good metaphor together.
But a lot of that's coming up to the master bedroom pretty soon, though. Like, that's already allocated towards the master bedroom. Like, you can't fuck up anything else.
If he scores 30 points a game.
Fair enough.
That's full circle right there.
Guys, so let's bring this back to the Tampa game, right? So let's bring this back to Tampa game and looking ahead this weekend. You got a good defense that you're going to face. You got some tough conditions with heat that you're going to face. You're coming off a bad performance, so you really, like, the pressure's on to, like, go out there and show your peers and show the world that, like, hey, that week one was an anomaly. Like, this is an opportunity here. This is absolutely an opportunity. Baker Mayfield is serviceable, but we know what Baker is. That offense, I mean, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin are good. You know, a pretty decent offensive line. Defense is stellar. Like, this is a good, good opportunity for you to go out there and show that, like, you can compete and you belong. Go 1-1. You know, on the defensive side of the ball, like, just don't get bodied. Go out there and look like you care. Chase Claypool, if you get the opportunity to throw the pads on again this weekend, go out there and look like you care. That's what I ask. Justin, throw the ball. Just look, just give it a chance. right? Don't give me last week, because if you give me last week, I'm going to be right back here again, and you guys are going to have to turn down the audio every time I'm talking because I'm talking too loud and I'm burning your speakers. I need to see more than what I saw last week. Guys, we win if. Jake.
Yeah, you shouldn't have started with me. You guys already know my answer. We got to score 30.
Trevor.
I think you have to get more first downs than the Buccaneers. I think we just did not have our offense on the field long enough. Our defense was just getting gassed and just cut up left and right. So give them some time to rest in the heat. Make sure you don't get cooked.
Yeah, I think the Bears win if Baker Mayfield is just Baker Mayfield. Sometimes you'll have some good games. Sometimes you'll have some really fucked up ones. And as long as the Bears are in position to actually convert on those turnovers, or at least on those attempts, then I can see the Bears winning that game. I still do think they win this game.
I think we win if... I think we win if... And there's no way to give a number to it, but like we win if Justin just throws the ball downfield. If DJ Moore has 9-plus targets, Darnell Mooney and Cole Kmet have another, you know, 5-6 targets combined. You know, something like that. Just go out there and throw. I think you win. Give him a chance.
Also, that line is really fucking ratty. I think Jake mentioned it. That's a rat fucking
line.
Rat
line.
2.5 or two.
Two and a half dogs.
Two and a half dogs.
Yeah, Vegas, two dogs.
Two
Vegas
dogs.
Vegas is high again on the Bears.
I think that's just,
maybe they're right this time.
You know what I think it is? I think it's Bears fans. I think they're just always betting on the team, just moving the line.
I mean, that it's like one of the fan bases that can really move the line. Mm-hmm. I mean, you plus, yeah, dude, that's brutal because I would think they're more. Oh,
yeah, that
1-800 gambler.
Yeah, that's a really weird line.
Gamble responsibly.
It's a weird line,
guys. Anything else?
Because they have a good defense. Like, they still play defense.
Yeah, it'll be a good test for the offensive line, too. I know just having Vita Vea there, like, you hope the offensive does.
We got Kansas is their rookie. He's out there, too.
Yeah. It's another great test for that offensive line.
You just got to be more competent than last week. Guys, anything else on the Bears you want to get into?
Nope. Negative.
Then we move on, guys. Let's get into some sports minutes. We'll go around the city of Chicago, touch base with a couple of our favorite Chicago sports teams. Producer Jake, we got the Blackhawks. Take it away.
Training camp has started. Today was first day. Connor Bedard was not there. He was a part of the NHLPA media tour, so he'll be joining us shortly. Preseason starts in 2 weeks. We're less than a month away from actual regular season. This is very exciting. In just NHL news, you guys see the Mike Babcock thing?
Unreal. That is insane.
What a scumbag.
So I'm assuming it's true, right?
I don't know what
I'm
you're
hearing
about.
It's probably true. There's no like investigation or anything happening into it, I believe, right now. Our Columbus might have said they're looking into it, but no like concrete proof other than like what the Spit and Chicklets crew said and what has been like brought out from other people saying, yeah, that happened. So allegedly, but yeah, I'll clue you in here in a second. So Mike Babcock, very prominent NHL hockey coach, coached the Toronto Maple Leafs for a long time, coached the Red Wings for a long time. He coached Team Canada when they won like 3 golds in a row or something like that. Big deal. He's currently, after a short stint away from the game, is with the Columbus Blue Jackets. And there's been known kind of stories out there that Mike Babcock is kind of a scumbag. One time, a player was in Toronto visiting. He's on the visiting team. And he's standing out, just looking at the ice. First professional game. Standing out, looking at the ice. Looks at, like just kind of taking it all in, right? Mike Babcock is kind of out there standing there too. And the guy's like, oh my God, Mike Babcock, like fucking idol. This guy's incredible. Tries to talk to him. Like, and guys, kids, or coach is like, something like first game. He's like, yeah. He's like, take it in. Because you're never going to see it again. And like just walked away. Just fucking brutal of a human. Newest story is in Columbus, he's been inviting the players and personnel into his office, sitting them down and telling them shit like, pull your phone, I want to see your photos. And they're like, what? He's like, I want to see what type of person you are. And like just getting into their private lives and all this stuff.
What?
And apparently he did this in Toronto too. Like that's kind of what the story is that's going around right now.
Just going through the camera rolls, like asking them to like show them their photos. And I think it's under the guise of like he wants to see like learn more about their family.
If they party,
like
well,
that.
It's like if they party, if they
who are
like,
you? Yeah, what are you into outside of the ice? Yeah,
yeah, off ice. I want to know about you.
Oh, dude, that's fucked.
It's weird, weird.
So is he gonna be fired or?
I don't know. I don't even think he's coaching a game for them yet. So you definitely could, but there's this one guy on Twitter. His name's Mike Commodore.
I love Commie.
Huge time Babcock hater.
Yep.
Fucking despise any chance he gets the chance to talk out about that guy. He does it. He hates him, and he's told some pretty crazy fucked up stories about the guy.
Anything else on the Hawks?
No. I'm stoked though.
Guys, we move on. We go to Chicago Bulls. Not much with the Bulls right now, except first and foremost, we need to pivot as a fan base. We need to not care about this season. The only thing I care about now.
Scoring 120 points.
Put every single thing you've got into trading for Giannis Antetokounmpo. He was on a podcast. I don't know. Was it the 48 or something like that? I forget which one it was. Yeah, but he basically said along the lines of like, look, I'm a Milwaukee Buck, but more importantly, I'm a winner. And I always want to make sure that I'm in the best position to win in my NBA career, wherever that may be.
How are we going to sell that?
I mean, you'd literally give them everything. I literally give them everything. You give them the next 5 years worth of draft picks, anybody worth anything. You want Zach, take him. DeMar, take him.
Yeah, but how do you sell him on the Bulls if he wants to be a contender? If you're going to send him everything you got, all the picks, everything, and then sign him.
You figure that out afterwards.
Yeah, you figure it out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, got it.
You figure
people
it out.
People will come to play with Giannis.
Yeah.
And people have won here before.
Yeah. I mean, and it's big market. You're already clear.
Why aren't they going to Milwaukee to play with Giannis? What do you mean they'll come to play with Giannis?
It's Milwaukee. Like, yeah. Would you rather go to Milwaukee or Chicago?
It's like Joakim like talking about Cleveland.
Nobody vacations to Cleveland.
No one wants to go to Milwaukee.
Nobody wants to go to Milwaukee, Jake.
Nobody wants to come here.
Not true.
What's the last, like... I mean, we did.
Mello.
You literally just gave Tremaine Edmonds like a fuck ton of money.
Dwayne Wade?
Dwayne Wade was more like a victory lap. Oh, I grew up in Chicago.
Mello.
In baseball? Bellinger.
Bellinger.
Khalil?
Bo Jackson. Oh,
yeah. That's why you trade for him, though, right? Like, assuming that he's going to sign.
How do you sell that interdivision? I mean, like.
Yeah, you probably don't get that. So you just sign him in free agency. He will be at one point.
You send everything for him, and we'll figure it out down the road.
When he's like 38, he'll be a bull.
Sign me up.
So that's what I want. I just want you to pivot, put everything into getting him, because without it, you're just ship without a rudder. That's it.
You're just behind.
Nothing else on the Bulls. You guys got anything?
Nope.
Then we move on to the Chicago White Sox. Trev, take it away.
It's still all bad. Everything's sad down there. Luis Robert's very, very good, but he is just the only person on this sinking ship. Oscar Colas is just disappointing as a rookie. He just lets everything get in his head. He is batting 157 since he came back up. He just can't seem to hang on to a spot here in the MLB. Really just no bright spots. Dylan Cease is like no longer unhittable. He seems to give up a few every single game. There was an absolute barn burner of a game against the Royals the other night. I think the Sox were down 9-1 going into the fifth inning. Came out of the fifth inning tied 9-9. I think it finished up at 11 or 12 to 13. It was some White Sox baseball.
Trevor sounds
the highs
like
and lows.
The Mud Dogs announcer from Waterboy, where he's just like, this team fucking sucks. There's nothing good.
Yeah.
It's all nonchalant.
There's really nothing good going on right now. I mean, Jake, anything to add?
No. Moncada seems to be playing well now that he's not hurt. But how long will that last?
Exactly. Until he's just hurt and then rehabbing again.
I really don't blame Colas. I blame the organization.
You guys see...
shouldn't have put that faith in a rookie.
You guys see Grifol said that he wouldn't be surprised if there was like a drastic improvement next season.
I don't know what Grifol's on, dude. I want
he can
what
say
he
whatever
has.
He wants because he already has his job
next
year.
They already told him he's keeping it. Like, the fact that he's like, yeah, I have a plan.
We're saving it for next year.
I'm keeping it. My cards close to my chest. Like,
yeah, he's big coach speak. He's big manager speak, and it is exhausting.
It's bad. You can't do coach speak when you're bad.
Fucking call people out.
You're so right about that.
Yeah.
Can't do coach speak when you're bad.
Like Mike Tomlin can
when you've
do,
never yeah. been good. Like you yeah. don't have like a history of like winning.
Were you trying to like
the video you sent me where it's like, so I can't swear at him, right? And I can't attack him. But I can talk about him.
I want to get rid of that motherfucker right there.
I'm sick of hearing this man talk.
The best. The best, dude. Guys, anything else on the White Sox?
No.
You think we have Sox Fest this year?
No, not a chance. There will be Sox Fest.
No fucking shot. You guys have Sox Fest. No shot. Mm-hmm. Guys, we move on to the Chicago Cubs. I am a jinx. I'm a jinx. Last week, I talked about the Cubs are in the mode of solidifying their playoff position. And then you go out and you almost get swept by the Diamondbacks. Mm-hmm. You lose to the Rockies a couple games. You right now you're 4.5 games behind Milwaukee for the division, and wild card. You're in the second wild card. You're only a game and a half in front of the Diamondbacks, which you are going to see here for Ooh. Another couple games coming up.
Spicy.
Yeah. So. The
and
Cubs,
the Brewers behind that, right?
Yeah, so you've got Cubs, or you've got Diamondbacks, you've got Pirates, and then you've got another series somewhere else. I think you see them again.
The Phillies are still ahead, right?
Yeah.
They're okay.
In the division or in the one wild card?
In the wild card.
Oh.
Who owns the division? Brewers?
Yeah, Brewers. Yes. Yeah, Brewers, and they're 4.5 ahead. So you got three games against the Diamondbacks, you got three against the Pirates, you got three against the Rockies. Oh. You got three against the Braves and four against the Brewers to end the season.
Mm.
So you got seven brutal games towards the end. You got 16 games left to basically make something of it. David Ross like just was the worst series he's managed all season. Just questionable decisions, pinch hitting who, starting who. Was it the ninth? There was eighth inning or something. Ian Happ drops fifth inning. Ian Happ drops like just a regular simple pop fly to left field. And then the next pitch, they take Jameson Taillon Yard for another two runs and they lose that game 5-3. Just a bunch of little things. Base running errors. Nick Madrigal. That's that guy's up and down. You guys can have him back. It's just going to be a tough end of the season. Like the vibe of the season could drastically change if you end up missing the playoffs here.
Remember when we were talking about Nick Madrigal playing third base?
Yeah, just saw him at the top of the order one day for the Cubs playing third.
Plays third.
Oh my god.
Dude, not a terrible third base. He's just too little. He had a ball
goal. He is tiny.
If he was regular size.
When you see him dive and you're just like, you motherfucker.
This is like this is like the Tua thing where it's like he's a left-handed quarterback and you're like, oh god, it looks awful. But then someone superimposes it and flips him around and he looks amazing as a right-hander.
Oh.
It's like if you could superimpose Nick Madrigal to be like 6'4" and have like 50, 60 more pounds on him, you're like, wow, that's a good-looking ball player.
Be Nolan Arenado.
Good God, you got a tough couple games here. You got a tough end of the season here. I'm hoping that we get to watch some playoff baseball. I'll be pretty disappointed if we don't with the stretch that we've had here the last couple weeks. So,
Crow Armstrong was called up, though.
I was going to ask about that.
Yeah, PCA came in. And then,
how'd that go?
His first game, he has two plays that make it on the SportsCenter Top 10. The ball that he tracked where he jumped and kind of hit into the wall of that one in like the seventh inning or something, I think that was like a 16% catch probability. And there's only like,
I don't know where they get that.
And there's only like an X amount of percentage of like players in the league that'll make that. It's just really, really cool that like he's that good.
I like the one that's just like route efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Do they take the most? I like that number more than the catch probability.
Yeah. So PCA was good. I mean, that's good. I'm excited for him.
We did say last week. Justin Steele taking over the Cy Young. Took the lead today in the polls.
Yeah, I got that. I got that at like 12-1.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's,
oh, that's nice. Exciting.
Oh, I need to win some fucking money, dude. God damn it. I'll tell you guys in a little bit. I'm trying to think. Anything else with the Cubs, Jose? Am I missing anything? Oh, Jamer Candelario on the 10-day IL. Dealing with a back or something like that. Is what it is. Let's hope for good vibes. Let's hope for some runs.
Yeah.
You need to score runs. You can't go 2-3 runs. Not with the way the schedule is gonna go the rest of the season. Anything else? Then we move on. Guys, let's get into some schmegments. All right. Well, you guys wanna do not that guy, you wanna do who can or cannot dog sit?
It's a dog sit.
Jose, who can't?
Let's do not that guy. I got a crazy dog sit. I got to go last.
Okay. So then we're doing.
Not that guy.
All right. Who's this week's not that guy? Jake.
Not that guy is. So you guys know how I'm cursed with vehicles and stuff like that?
Yep.
Oh, shit.
So driving home. This happened yesterday. I was driving home, turning onto my street, and I'm following a car, and they're going to turn down the alley by the gym over here, and they don't turn on their turn signal, but they start turning, and all of a sudden slam on the brakes. I slam on my brakes. We're both stopped, and like a red truck is pulling out of the alley. Well, this person in front of me turns on the reverse lights, and they start moving, and I just put my hand on the horn, and I didn't let go. I just, wah, and they're just backing up. I'm laying on the horn, and they're just slowly backing up. Boom. Bumps right into me. And I just, like, throw my hands in the air, and I'm just like, you got to be fucking kidding me. What's the line from the other guys? Are you deaf or are you stupid? Dude, I was just in utter disbelief. I was shocked. Couldn't believe it. So guy is pulling out just laughing at what he just witnessed and just drives away. The person in front of me drives down the alleyway. And I'm like, you're leaving?
Jake said, not on my watch.
So I just
put a light on his hood.
I pulled in the alleyway, and then they just immediately park in this spot. And I get out of the truck, and I go around. I look to the front of it. No damage, just soft bump. I think it just dented the license plate or something. But I just, arms in the air, I'm like, what the fuck? And they're getting out of their car as I'm getting back in mine. And it's like a teenager. She's like 16. And she's just like this crazy look, like lost deer look in her eyes. Just puts her hands up. And I just put mine up. I'm like, I can't deal with you. You're dealing with something. I can't be a part of it. My vehicle is fine. I'm leaving. I never want to see you again.
And you drove like a half a block over and then parked in your driveway.
Yeah.
So you can still see.
I was just dumbfounded at the whole situation.
Guys, my not that guy.
Not that guy.
My not that guy is all of the people in that Wisconsin bar. I don't know if you guys heard about the Wisconsin bar scenario. Jake, I don't know if you did. So,
yes. Yes.
Yeah. So if you didn't hear about it, basically it's a Wisconsin bar. So they're anti-Rodgers, anti-Jets. So basically any time that the Jets lose, drinks are free and the bar will pick up the tab. So of course, Rodgers goes down first drive and everybody starts running it up. Just run that shit up because you're thinking, dude, we're not gonna have to pay for these drinks tonight.
Zach Wilson.
Yeah, the best part
no
is
shot.
The best part's watching the news broadcast of the guy who like is like giving his report as they had just scored, and like everybody in the background just like sad. The servers are handing everybody their bills. Pay up, motherfucker. So all you guys that thought you were gonna get some free shit and cheered for player's injury, you're not that guy. Jose.
My boss. So I went to Chinatown with my girlfriend over the weekend, and we go to a Chinese American museum. And you know, we go through it; everything's okay. We're just learning about Chinese American history, the cuisine, and all that stuff. And we get to the second floor, and my girlfriend calls me over. She's like, "Hey, I think your company's here." So I'm like, "What the fuck?" So I walk over, and there's a picture of the owner of my company on there, and they're celebrating. Chinese, Malaysian immigrants that came to Chicagoland and their success stories. In his biography, they started talking about like what he came over and what he did. And then they had to include an excerpt of him apparently betting, being a pretty big better of spider fighting, cock fighting, and fish fighting, which I had no idea were things.
Fish fighting.
And so, yeah, learning that about the owner, so I texted my boss, who happens to be related to him, and asked like, "Hey, did you know about this?" And I found out that my boss also like used to raise fish, so that he could fight the fish as well too. And it's like this huge gambling thing, and
you're just like putting Oscar fish in a tank together.
It's like beta fish, and they're just fighting them. So, yeah, learning that about my ownership, that's That's pretty cool.
Legendary.
That's awesome.
That's crazy.
That's awesome. Trev?
Not that guy for me. It's going to be Luke Getsy for that play calling performance this past Sunday. Got to get vertical with it.
And we run it right back to you. Who can or cannot dog sit for you?
Stephen A. Smith can watch my dog. Ooh. I think the past few weeks, or the past week or so, you guys may have seen the clips of Shannon Sharpe calling him Skip. And
it's all right, my brother.
Shannon feels really bad. And, you know, that's why Stephen A. can watch my dog, because he understands that mistakes happen and accidents happen. And he just seems very forgiving.
Dude, and Shannon's so disappointed.
Yeah,
Damn!
He's so mad.
Come on!
And
come
Stephen
on, Shannon!
A. just like, it's okay.
It's so good.
Damn!
So yeah, Stephen A. can watch Frankie.
Yep.
Jose, who can or cannot dog sit for you?
Did you guys watch the VMAs last night?
No.
Oh, can I tell you about the VMAs real quick?
Oh, I can't.
I didn't
wait.
Watch it, but go ahead.
Hot take?
No. Oh. Me Damn. And Lexi had this moment last night where we're watching the VMAs, and we really just watched it because I think Shakira is amazing.
Shakira.
We got to watch her, and then the like hip hop at the end of it, like that whole thing that they did.
Yeah.
But everybody else, like somebody would perform. I'm like, do you know who this is? No, I have no clue. Who is this? Who's introduced? No clue. We said that 50 times last night. Jose.
Selena Gomez was wearing this red dress last night. And I have just the biggest crush on Selena Gomez. So if I ever have the opportunity to let Selena just the biggest milkers do it. If I ever have the opportunity to let her take care of my dog, I... just fucking no-brainer. I take years off my life for that. Selena Gomez is going to watch my dog anytime.
My dog's on my face. Guys, not dog-sitting for me, for Gus Boy and also. Not dog-sitting for me is a combination of Illinois and Colorado lawmakers. Let me tell you guys about this fucking scenario that I'm in right now. So Colorado also legalized sports betting. So fun times. I was out there Saturday. So I threw all my bets in for the weekend. Good times. And I'm ready to go. Like I put a bunch out there. You know, put a bunch out there. Week one. We're celebrating. I hit this nice little 6-leg 8-1 parlay. So that was nice. You know, a couple unit play, couple hundred bucks that I won. So I get back here and I'm all excited because I'm going to gamble more. And I go to look at my account and I have $0. Where's my few hundred dollars? I can only use them in Colorado.
Colorado currency?
If you bet it in that state, the balance stays in that state. And I can't use that money. There's no way to transfer it. I've tried everything.
What if you open?
I have a remedy for you.
Can you open a bank account in Colorado?
I'll tell you off the podcast.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Offline.
Oh shit. Whoa. So, Illinois and Colorado lawmakers, we might have a loophole. Fuck you guys. So they're not dog sitting my dog because I got money that I can't use right now. Sons of bitches. Jake.
Okay. So, this is a doozy. It's going to embarrass Amy a little bit, but I already told her about it, so she's okay with it. So on Sunday, first of all, my dog sitter is, or dog watcher, is a woman named Melinda.
Okay. Is that a song?
Yeah, it could be. It could be. I might write it after this. So on Sunday, post my birthday party that Amy threw for me, which was incredible. Great time, right? So surprised. Whole nine yards.
You're such a manager build break.
One of the best days. One of the best days. Highs of high. Waking up the next morning, hungover. So my dogs, specifically one, Sasha, alarms off at 5:30 for her. I'm ready to eat. You're going to know about it. So Amy gets up, feeds them, right? We... do our normal routine where we feed them. We just open the door. We have a doggy door. They go out, everything like that, right? So I'm in bed. I'm sleeping. And wake up around like 8:30, 9 o'clock. You know, Amy came back to bed. I'm kind of hungover, all this stuff. Amy's like, you want an Advil and a Diet Coke? I was like, fuck yeah. That sounds awesome. Minute later, comes back upstairs. No Advil, no Diet Coke. And just says, Jake, I've made a mistake. And is like upset. I've made a mistake. The gate to the driveway was not closed.
Oh, no.
So Jeffy's in bed, but Sasha is not. They were let out at like 6 o'clock, 5:30, 6 o'clock. It's like 8:30, 9 o'clock now.
Oh, that's never could take her anywhere.
So she's not in the house. She's not out in the yard. She's not here. So we're like, I'm out of bed immediately. I've never been recovered from a hangover faster. I'm
John Wick.
I am. I'm John Wick. I am Liam Neeson. Only it's a dog. So I start just like walking down the road. I'm getting in my truck. I'm driving. You know, I'm driving around for a full hour, driving around the whole neighborhood. And like I'm going through everything. I'm going through all stages of grief. I'm crying. I've accepted it. I've like reverted back. You know, I've gone through everything. And I'm like,
oh, buddy,
dude, can't find her.
No,
no sign. Like, and like, so I'm getting at this point now where like there's people out. Like the whole town's awake. Like everybody's doing something outside.
All eight of you are looking for her.
So, but so. I'm almost surprised the cops didn't get called on me because I'm like creeping down every street, looking in everybody's yard. Like what? But I mean, Amy had called like the police, the BP, everything. Right. And like, I'm like, somebody has to have her. Like there's just no way that she's just not found right now. Like the town's not that big. Also there's cornfields though surrounding the place. I was like, if she's in a cornfield, gone forever, never going to see that one again. Right. You can't, I mean, you can't do anything. So I had only had my work phone on me and I'd come back to the house because like, I'm checking again. You know, you're just like losing your mind, right? You're just repeating everything. It's the definition of insanity. But come back to the house looking for my first phone. Couldn't find it. I was about to go back out, but I was like, gotta go to the bathroom. Phone is in the bathroom. Pull open the personal phone, look at it. I have a text message from 24 Pet Watch, which is like the microchip in your dog if you've done that. So I had Sasha microchipped when I adopted her. Someone had found her. Call the number. It's a vet. So the woman worked for a vet, brought her in, had her tag checked, and then they're like, yeah, this woman Melinda, she works for us, she has your dog, but she drove out to help her mom with a garage sale, so the dog is with her. I'm like, oh, well, first I'm like crying out of relief. Couldn't believe I was like, holy shit, she's alive. We have her.
Where's my fucking dog?
I was pulling up Google Maps, but I kept forgetting about it. So she was all the way out in Bridgeview.
Holy shit.
That's like an hour 15 away from here.
That Bridgeview. I'm like, Bridgeview. Neighborhood out here.
Bridgeview. Oh my God. So I'm just like, she was like, I mean, I'm coming back that way this evening. So if you don't need her, I could drop her off. I'm like, don't need her. I was like, I'm on my way. And so drove all the way out there, picked her up. Couldn't believe it. Put her in the car. I'm like
crying when you
do. Well, no, at that point, I think I was dry. Like, so I was just, you know, more or less like, okay, we're good. But I was like, where did you find her? What time did you find her? Because I'm like driving around. I'm like, there's no way she's crossing Route 30. There's no reason. She's not, like, she's only on her smeller. Like, she'll stick around. She's like, well, I was driving down Route 30 and I saw her walking down the side of the road. I was like, oh my. So I don't know how, I think she was still in town, but she was just along the side of Route 30 walking down at like, I think it was, she said it was like 6:30, 7 a.m. So she was out there like just strolling around for a good like 45 minutes, an hour or something like that. And
she got down there pretty quick.
Holy shit, dude.
So drove all the way out there. She's just sitting outside in the garage sale. And I'm driving out there. I'm picturing Sasha like on the, because she likes to stand on the middle like dash of your car while you're driving. I just picture her just like perched up. Like, cause you remember living with her.
Oh, yeah.
She'd jump in anybody's car. This mechanic came over one time, opens the door. Sasha jumped right in. Like, she's not afraid of anybody. She's just going along for the ride. So yeah, she, hour and a half out to wherever I said, Bridgeview, hour and a half back.
Got her
back home by noon.
Kickoff,
by football.
By kickoff.
And then I got to watch football, and then the Bears lose, so I was back down. You know, that's what I was saying. It was like a roller coaster of a weekend.
Instead, I came back up, and
I also thought, for because I'm driving around, I'm going through every scenario. I'm like, I lost my dog. I'm going to lose my girlfriend. because she can't ever, she's never going to face me again. She's gonna, like, she's just going to leave. She's going to run away just like Sasha. Like, I'm going to be out on everything.
Just like Sasha.
I'm like, I'm going to be out on everything. Like, I've lost it all.
Yeah, we got to score 30 points.
We got to score 30 every week. Points.
Every week. 30 every week. I don't care about the defense. I just want my dog.
Jake, y'all good?
I'm yeah, great. All good now. I mean,
shout out Melinda.
Shout out Melinda. Shout out Melinda. We're Melinda. Square.
Wow. Guys, it's going to be a wrap on episode 84. Guys, episode 85, we will break down the results of Bears-Buccaneers. We'll look ahead to a tough, tough matchup in Kansas City. Who knows? We might even see some interns next week, too. That's three in a row for you guys. Ooh. Here. We might have to drop the intern title here soon.
Fucking pay me.
Guys, anything else you guys want to get into real quick before we get out of here?
Nope.
No.
Let's see red.
Bear down.
Bear down. Love you guys.
Bears.
Bears.
Bears. Bears.
Jake takes a penny. He never leaves a penny.
It's bad. It's so bad. They don't win. Now I ain't saying she a gold
digger. But she ain't messing with no Richard Seymour. Get down, girl. Go ahead, get down. The boys are back.
Not that guy.
Get down, girl. Go ahead, get down. How big are you on sports? Get down, girl, go ahead. Not that guy.
I need to put notes on that.
Right. Oral Roberts, yep. Man.
I'm drunk.
Drunk.
Bears.
It's looking more like Jake might have been right, but do I know anything about that man? Absolutely not going into that, right?
You don't have a choice.
No, that's not what I said.
Okay.
I watched all the tape. Watched all the tape.
To say where you work, but and then get the hell out of the chair.
The best friends in the whole world.
Go Chaos. Especial.
Not that guy.
Marcos disagrees.
Sean's legally blind.
Let him up, you dumb bitch.
It's Malort.
What if he wants to be here?
Yeah. I rode with him for 3 weeks, dude. Wow.
Football guys. Really fast.
I need it in like 15 seconds, though.
Yeah, your face is too narrow.
That guy.
Dude, I love and celebrating.
The Malort's on the table.
We're doing our best to put out as much as we can put out.